Well, I want to thank everyone that is logged on tonight and those that are here. God bless you. I'm glad that you made it out. This is our Wednesday night. That is our first Wednesday night on October. It's the second Wednesday of every month that we're meeting. And I don't know if we're changing in September or not.
Well, no.
Or November. But stay tuned because we're going to probably jump into twice a month and then who knows what happens after that. But tonight we want to elaborate on basically what does Christianity mean. And to be a Christian or to be a follower of God or, you know, I guess what else would you say? Spiritual, other than yourself. All has to do with repentance or change. And we're like a river, and the river is always flowing. Inside of you, there's a water rushing, and it's rivers flowing. And if that river isn't flowing, if your life isn't moving, changing, you get stagnant. And you always have to change. Change the way you're thinking, change the things that you're doing. If you stay the same all the time, you get crammed up. You get to the point where you just can't take it anymore. It gets old and stagnant and you get bored and all that. So tonight I want to challenge all of us that are listening that change is good and change is necessary. If you don't change, then you're not living. You're not living. God is alive and he's always moving. And we need to, as his people, as children, we need to move with God. And, you know, I know this one individual, and I was really taken back by it. This person said to me, "We don't like change." I don't think I'll ever forget that. And I was like, "What? What are you talking about?" I mean, I didn't say that directly to them, but I said it in my own mind, in my heart. What are you talking about? Life is nothing but change. Correct. You have to change. You have to change. And I bless everyone that is looking for something new. If you're looking for something new, God bless you. I think those that are feeling an unction to step out and move forward in their life, I think it's the best thing that you can do. You're actually walking in faith. You don't know what's in front of you, and you're saying, "Okay, God, let's move forward. Let's take this change and move forward." You know, we always say that you have to establish the kingdom of God inside you. And what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, right? Amen. And if you're not having righteousness, peace, and joy within side of you, then you really don't have life. Life is peace, joy, and righteousness. One thing that I'm going to challenge, trying to, warfare, is guilt. I think guilt is probably the worst thing that anyone can put on someone or actually receive. And I always say, if this person is making you feel guilty, you got to cut them off. You got to run away from those people. No matter how good of a friend they are, no matter what type, how long they've been in your life, no matter if it's your mother, father, sister, brother, guilt is like the enemy's fiery dart. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what really tears down an individual.
Yep.
Guilt. As soon as guilt lays heavy on you, it beats you down and it puts you in a pit. And really, we really need to be free from guilt. Guilt and shame. And that's why the Bible says there is no guilt or shame or condemnation in Christ. And we want to be Christ. We want to be that new divine nature of Christ living inside of us so that we can become what we call born again. Born again is is important. And in order for us to become born again or live a new entity, no longer is it I that lives, but he that lives within me, has to be change. If you don't have change in your life, then you're not alive. You're not living.
What he's talking about is changing from what? Changing from, we're all born into this world. We're all born into this world. This world has patterns of thought. And those patterns of thought from the world are basically fear, worry, and anxiety in every circumstance. Patterns of this world say, if I have a bump on my skin, it's cancer. If I have an accident, my car's totaled. It goes to the worst case scenario every single time. That's the patterns of this world. And what we're talking about is changing from those patterns of fear, worry, and anxiety to patterns of peace, joy, and righteousness, or patience, or whatever you want to call it. But God is trying to bring a change in our thinking. And he takes us through circumstances in our life. We go through changes or circumstances, and those circumstances are basically a test for us. And those tests are there for a reason, to make us apply faith in God. You know, that's all he wants, is to trust him. That's all he wants.
How would you say that these tests come? I think these tests come based on your spirit becoming stale.
Correct.
You know, like, it doesn't taste good anymore. And if you ever lived in life and all of a sudden you're like, this doesn't taste good anymore. I don't like this anymore. Something's doesn't taste right. That's what I always say, taste.
You're right. And it's a cry from you wanting a change.
Yeah.
It's a deep, heartfelt cry in you saying, I'm sick and tired of the same old, bringing me down, causing me to have fear, worry, and anxiety, causing me to sit in a room and sulk. I'm sick of it. And it's a deep-hearted cry for help. You said
some people take it as put in bondage, you know, or in prison.
Yep.
You know, or just buried deep. I used to refer it as underwater.
Yep.
Under the ocean, so deep under the ocean that, you know, it's to try to swim up. Oh my God, I remember years trying to swim up and get that breath of fresh air. Oh, and then once you get up, and you get that air, it's like, woo, I'm saved. You want to just start saying, hallelujah, I'm saved. But, you know, without change, you're just buried.
Well, it's like you said on Sunday, you're crying out for help and no one's listening to you.
No one.
No one can help you. No one's listening to you. God's listening to you. So he's starting to bring circumstances in your life to bring a change in your thinking. So I used to think this way in a certain way, and now I'm starting out. He takes me through the same circumstance, the same one I went through before and failed and had fear, worry, and anxiety. I go through the same circumstance 10 different times. Until I finally apply faith and come out of that fear and worry. And God's just trying to bring us to that place where we start applying faith. We start trusting him through principles that we teach in here. That's what we do. We teach principles. We teach the principles that'll set you free from the fear, worry, and anxiety. So you have to go back and listen to the messages in here over and over again to get those principles down so you're armed. So you have something to go through these trials with. Without these principles that we teach, you're going through trials and tribulations and you have no one answering your call. You're crying out for help and no one's answering because your help is in the circumstance. Mm-hmm. Your help is in the circumstance you're going through. If you practice patience and practice self-control and practice, you know, peace, you're going to go through it and you're going to get the blessing God wants you to have. But if you start manifesting and complaining and murmuring like you do every single time you go through a circumstance, he says, I can't help you anymore. It's beyond me. Now it's beyond me. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it was me. And then you started complaining and murmuring. But like you said Sunday, that they went to the promised land. The Israelites were set free from Egypt. And he took them to the promised land. And he said, I'm going to give you fresh clothes every day. Fresh food every day, fresh water every day, until I get you through this desert to the promised land. And that wasn't good enough. They murmured and they complained every day, and they even built false gods. They built false gods to a God who was feeding them every day and clothed them. They built a false god to someone who's taking care of them.
Yeah, they wanted.
That's how far they went. Just imagine what he's thinking when he sees that. Oh my gosh.
I can only imagine.
And they had the fresh clothes and the fresh food and the fresh water every day, and they still complained. They still built other gods. And God killed how many? 30,000 in one day? I mean, listen, God's not a respecter of persons. He's going to give you chance after chance after chance to bring you through circumstances and bring a repentance in you or a changing of thinking so you start trusting him. That's why you go through circumstances.
Well, a lot of people, they don't even comprehend change.
Correct.
And I think what takes away change is pride.
You're right.
Because then they begin to start looking outside and say it's everybody else's fault.
That's right.
You know, it's everybody else's fault. These people, this, that, this.
Yep.
Or this thing, that thing. You know, this thing. If this would have been different or that would have been different.
Yep.
When the reality is you have to humble yourself and you got to break away. You got to break away. You got to break away.
You said it Sunday. The reality is nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares but God.
Yep.
Nobody cares.
Nobody
That's
cares.
The reality. When you accept that reality, you can't blame anybody because they don't care. Nope. Why are you blaming them? They don't care.
They don't
as
care.
Soon as you blame the outward instead of looking inside, it's over.
Yep.
You're done. You got nowhere to go.
Yep. And, you know, you mentioned something about when you say nobody cares. It's so true because the pain is all with inside.
Yep.
You know, when we don't have this change and we don't move out, branch out, we murmur and complain inside. We actually grumble and complain inside. We murmur and complain. Well, we begin to groan and cry out.
Yep.
And you try to talk to people, they're not listening to you.
No.
How many people here alone went to someone with your problem, looking for help? Did anybody help?
They just don't get it. They can't get it. They can't get it.
They can't feel what you're feeling.
No.
Now, there are some guidance and some direction. Some people have the offer. But, you know, most of the people, they're feeling pain and sick themselves.
Correct.
And they're not at that place of feeling free or feeling to the point where they can minister to you. A true counselor would be one who can actually minister to you.
Who's free.
Who's free. Who has been set free of the pain.
Correct.
Who understands that no one is really listening and no one really cares.
Who went through the fire.
And that can sympathize with you.
Yeah.
And be able to ask you enough, even if you get offended, to get to the root.
Correct.
Of what is causing your issues and your problems.
Correct.
And then pull this one. This is my favorite one. Who told you?
Exactly right.
Who told you this and that? Because most of the time, we have these issues and problems based on a tradition.
Yep.
Or a pattern.
Yep.
Or a belief.
Yep.
And it's causing us to actually reach out and move on from change. I mean, I know even myself, I had some issues in my life and based on traditions or beliefs or patterns that I was held by it until, you know, you finally say to yourself, I got to do something. And then make that effort to do something and see the light on at the end of the tunnel, so to say.
What you're saying is you didn't look at circumstances. You looked at you had to do something.
Yeah.
You just did it.
Had to do it.
Yeah, because most people won't change because they look at circumstances.
Well, they say this is the way it is.
Correct. It's the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is where my parents did it, and their parents did it, and their parents did it, and their parents did it. This is the way to do it, and that's it. You know, it's at a point where
change.
Yeah.
You right? Want to jump in?
You got something to say?
Come on.
Go ahead.
It's the most ridiculous thing. How do you sit in life and say, well, that's just how it's always been, so let's just keep doing that? But expect something different.
Exactly right.
That's a form of insanity.
All day long. So much so that the company I work for spent thousands of dollars on a brand new computer program for the entire company to use. And the people who didn't like change didn't like that change so much that they customized this new program to look like the old program. And now that the new program doesn't work right, we can't fix it because they over-customize.
Well, I can... Well, this is the issues and the problems with most people out there. They just don't want to change.
Yep.
And you can't live without change.
You're surviving. You're not living.
You're not surviving.
You're not
dying. And this is where most people are at. They just put themselves in a situation and they deal with it. And they're not pressing for greater happiness,
because,
or greater peace, or greater joy.
Because they don't know.
They don't want to press in.
They don't know. They have to listen to someone who knows. How do they know if the preachers aren't sent? How do they know?
I'm glad that you said that, because everyone needs a teacher.
How do they know if a preacher isn't sent? How are they going to hear it says? How are they going to hear if the preacher isn't sent?
That's
the Bible.
That's when I said what keeps us from change is pride. Because a proud person would say, I don't need to listen. I don't need to hear anyone. I don't need this. I can figure it out on my own. I can do it on my own. You know, I know a couple of people that, you know, it's a shame. I see the pain in their lives. I see them suffering. I see the anger. I see them come home from work angry and mad and upset.
Yep.
I see them rushing around all over the place, taking their kids here, taking their kids there, running around. They don't even have time to breathe.
They're not even aware. They're like zombies.
They don't even have a time to breathe.
They're stuck in a pattern.
And then all they do is complain.
Let me see what you said earlier.
And then when you point it out to them,
They get mad. What'd you say earlier? What are we like? We're like the wind or the water.
Well, we're supposed to be like the wind and the water.
We sit back and we wait for God to move us. We don't have a pattern See, when you have a set day and it's 7 o'clock work, 3 o'clock home, 4 o'clock kids this, 5 o'clock kids this, you're done.
You're done.
You have no life. You are stuck in patterns and you cannot deviate. Because if you deviate, you're hurting somebody or you're hurting somebody. It's insane. You're stuck in patterns and you're patterned until 10 o'clock at night. I go to bed every night at 10 o'clock. I wake up at 7 every morning. This is insane. What kind of life is that?
This is why.
Where's the wind?
You know, I try to teach my kids, Lord willing. Lord willing. Do you think we have, Lord willing.
You want to learn? Go on a vacation with him. That's how you learn. Go on a vacation with him. You go by the seat of your pants everywhere and every time.
And halfway through, you realize it's not a vacation.
It is a bit. No, it
it's
is.
It's a journey.
No. It's always a vacation if you learn. It's awesome. No. With him, it's the best. It's, you know why? Because God is awesome. And he always blesses us when we go out with him. He is.
Yeah, it's like the wind. You never know what. You have to be open.
It's always an adventure. It's always an adventure. Right?
Break it down. The most simple. What's your most favorite thing in life? How did it become your most favorite thing in life? You have to try it the first time at some point.
Yeah.
Well, that's change.
What if you used to like chocolate, now you like vanilla? What if you like this, then you like this one? If you never tried it, you're right. You got to try. You got to be open.
And then when you find out that you really like it.
Good point.
There's something else that's even better.
Yup, around the corner. Now you're looking for the next thing. It opens your door. It opens the door for you to just keep trying things because now you've tried something better. And then you keep trying and trying and trying and better and better and better. That's a great point, Rachel.
I want to tell our listeners and those that are here to really, this is called walking in faith. You gotta step out. If you don't step out and look for something new or fresh, if something is hindering you, like I heard this one individual, oh, I'm so tired. That's all he kept saying is, I'm so tired. Every time I met him, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm so tired. Why are you so tired? Oh, I get up real early for work. Okay, well then go to bed early. I don't understand. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand. Well, if your lifestyle is your work pattern is, you know, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you work till 3, have dinner at 3:30 or 4.
Yep.
You know, and then maybe watch a little television or something. And go to bed at 8. No, I can't do that.
Why? Because patterns don't dictate that.
I got to go here, and I got to go there, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Wait a minute. Then whose life are you living now?
Your famous phrase.
Are you living their life now, or are you living your life?
Your famous phrase back in the day, stop saying, I got to do this, Sam. Stop saying, I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. He's like, stop saying it. I'm sick of hearing it. I'm like, all right. So I stopped saying it. All of a sudden, I stopped having to do everything. I started just being relaxed.
Isn't it nice?
I got it. It's a bad pattern. I got it. Because it puts pressure on you. Now you have to do it.
Well, how many people are out there right now saying, you don't understand. I got to do this.
Nobody understands.
I got to do this. I got to
You don't understand. No, we do understand.
No, it's stealing your joy. Exactly right.
Yeah, because it's coming from I got to. Not Lord willing. It's coming from I got to.
And if I don't do it, nobody will do it.
Well, no. You don't understand. You don't understand. That's the whole thing. You don't understand. We do understand.
Yeah, you don't understand. I like that one.
And that's the best.
Then I tell the person, well, I can't help you. I can't help you.
Puppy dog
you
eyes.
You know, because if you're always tired and you won't get your proper amount of sleep because you gotta.
Then we're
you
done.
You gotta do this. You gotta. Then I don't know what to tell you.
That's you lesson know, A.
You're actually hopeless. You've reached that point of being hopeless because if you're not going to change.
Yep.
If you're not going to change the patterns of your lifestyle that's putting you in the grave.
Then you're done.
Then I don't know what to tell you. You might as well say you're dead. I always say, and those that are in my household will know that. If you're tired, yo, rest. No. It'll be there till tomorrow. You'll get to it. If you got to run them this way and run in that, you know what? Then maybe they're not. They shouldn't be in it. Or we'll find somebody else to take them or something like that.
This is the life of peace, joy, and righteousness right here.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to. We'll just do it when we feel like it. It'll get done. Just relax. Right?
Yeah. You know what? One thing I see that's a big problem out there. And, you know, I say this because I don't want people to take it the wrong way. But I think after school curriculums for kids is just way too much.
Yep.
I really do. I feel, and I hope that there's some people listening, some parents.
We know what the school is, the babysitter.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And then when they put them in these curriculums, you know, it really takes a lot out of the parent.
Yep.
It really takes a lot out of the child.
Yep.
Because they have to, you know, do their homework, and then they got to get up early for school the next day.
Usually Saturday games. You got Saturday, you know, whatever they're doing.
And they're not getting the proper amount of sleep.
Mm-mm.
I noticed one child. They were really bad on grades. The mother came, my kid's bad on grades and all. I said, well, what do you think is the problem? Tell me the situation. What's going on? Well, he's got this, that.
Baseball, football, softball, soccer.
And I said, well, is he getting the proper amount of sleep? She's like, well, I would think so. What time does he go to bed?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, give me an idea. I guess around 11, 12 o'clock. What time do you get up in the morning? So you're looking at 6 hours of sleep?
For a kid who needs 10 or 12.
And then gets to school and then falls asleep, like, nodding in class. Yep. And then he doesn't know what, he's not even paying attention to the teacher. And Mark? It's everybody. And I blame it on, you know, these after-school curriculum stuff, really, to be honest with you. I mean, there should be a time for this and a time for that.
Yep.
And when they cram all this stuff on these children and on the parents too.
Yep.
I stopped at, we had pizza tonight. And I stopped at the pizza place. And I saw this guy get out of his car. And you could tell he was just getting done from work. But he was so zoned out. He didn't even see me standing there. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't even see you standing there with two pizzas, you know, and here he had his kid with his soccer outfit on and everything else, and he's like running rampant, and I'm like, there's a man that's trapped.
Yep.
He doesn't even have a life.
Yep.
You know, and that's really a shame. It really is. And Sarah was with me when we saw that. That's a shame. They need a life.
Exactly right.
It's not normal.
It's not normal.
But they got to start changing. They got to start changing. And then you know what happens? They start prioritizing things, and the things that are important, they put off.
Yep.
And then they pressure. I've seen marriages fail because they didn't have that relationship with one another. They're running here, running there, running there. They don't even have time for themselves. You know, it's just getting really bad. I'm hoping that our listeners will start to say, you know what, I need a change. I spoke a message about being selfish.
I was just going to say that.
People have to start becoming selfish.
You're right.
and start thinking about themselves.
Yes. Because how can you help someone? How can you help someone if you're not helped?
That's right.
How you can help? If you're broken, how can you help somebody? You have to fix yourself first before you can fix others. People are trying to fix others when they're broken.
You can't.
It's like it's insane. Who are you going to fix? You are a mess. Fix yourself. Get yourself first fixed, and then you can fix other people. But yep. Once you're fixed, if you're not fixed, who will you think you're helping?
Yep.
What advice are you giving them? Let me tell you what didn't work for me. Oh no, thank you.
And you know how you can tell who needs help? People who complain.
All the time.
If you got people in your life that are complainers.
Yep.
That's me.
Run.
I'm sorry, dude.
No, hey, listen. You're here for a reason. You need change. You got to pack it all up, throw it on your back, and head. Head south, my son. Head south.
Two words will change your life. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for five fingers on each hand that work. Thank you for five fingers on each hand that work. Thank you for eyes that can see. Thank you that I can think straight. Thank you for money. Thank you. Thank him.
You gotta be selfish, and you gotta start looking at change.
Yep.
You gotta think of yourself.
Yep.
If you don't get well, and I'm talking about everyone, if they don't get well, why are you living?
Yep.
What's the purpose of living?
You're not helping anybody, even yourself.
You're not helping yourself.
Or yourself or anybody else.
I feel like stopping the whole world.
Yeah.
And then just say, okay, let's start all over and let's start thinking about ourselves.
Yep. What do you want to do?
And then once you're together and you feel good.
That's right.
And you got things that are going on the way that you want them done because you're feeling good.
You're good.
Okay, then branch out. Stop doing everything and running all over the place and trying to figure it out.
When you're fragmented.
Yeah.
You're basically a fragment.
Stop. Take a sabbatical. And then get yourself together.
Get your shit straight.
Yep. And then start looking at my next favorite word, priority.
Yep.
What is the most important thing in your life?
Yep.
What is the most important thing? And then start embracing that. And then go to the next. And then to the next. And then to the next.
You know what our priority is? Peace.
Yeah, peace.
Joy.
Peace, joy, and righteousness.
That's our priority. Used peace to be different, but it changed. Now it's peace and joy.
I think it's everybody's priority.
They just don't know how to get it.
No. And the way I look at it is, you have an individual that, first of all, isn't selfish and isn't looking at the priority for themselves. Yet they're doing everything else for everybody else.
Correct.
And they're just never going to find happiness.
Nope.
They're never going to find peace, and they're never going to find happiness. They really need to just stop and say, you know what? I want to be able to do this for me.
Yep.
I want to be. Now, it could go way overboard by someone just being totally selfish.
No.
And just be all about them, and it just never gets out of that, which is bad.
But I think that when you start receiving this peace and joy, you're going to know, and you're going to be able to just bless others, because this what we have is real.
Yeah.
This isn't selfishness.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah.
This is not the world. What we have is peace and joy. And it's not selfish at all. It's selfless.
I think when people enter into that selfish stage, they're crying out.
Yeah.
For one, they probably are not getting enough love that they need.
There you go, right there.
And number two, they don't have an individual in their life saying, "Hey, come here, help me."
Yep.
Come here, come over here and help me. Do this for me. Do this for me.
Yep.
I think those individuals really need to interact more with those that are close to them.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. I know in my household, I like to try to get everybody doing things together. And sometimes, you know, that backfires on you. But but it is actually a good thing when you can get everybody
good.
To be able to, you know, work along together. And it makes them feel good. Like, I have three girls with me. Doesn't it feel good when you work together and do things together? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
Teamwork.
Makes the dream work.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel good? I mean, I got Abigail now making dinners for us. I think it's great. It's awesome. She's a chef boyardee. Grabby old girl. She's doing a great job. Yeah. But if we don't look for change, if we don't follow through with change and start looking at our lives and think that things are going to be different, you're deceiving yourself.
Not just follow through change, but embrace it.
Yeah, embrace it.
Knowing that your character's being built.
You know, that's a good point, because a lot of times change comes and we don't like it.
We want it done.
Yeah, we want to run away from it.
Surrender, accept, receive. There you go.
Yeah.
Hit them.
And we want to run away from it. And, you know, sometimes we have to just not try to figure it out, but just go with it. Say, okay, you know what? I'm going to embrace it. Even though I may not understand it, I may not agree with it, but you know what? I'm gonna let this play itself out and see how it unfolds, and more than likely it outfolds for the good. It really does.
Yep.
I think God is always protecting and looking out for everyone. I don't think He's a respecter person that says, "Oh, I like you, but I don't like you." You know, I think He's always looking out for the best interest of everyone. And when we can allow Him to work our lives out, we always come into that place of prosperity. We always come into that place of joy.
Yep.
Our hearts are filled, and the desires of our hearts overflow.
That's right.
And I think that's really I don't think God would have created us and then let us perish and suffer.
Yeah.
We bring this perish and suffering on ourselves by our ignorance.
That's right. There you go.
And it's, you know, the Bible speaks about, you know, my children suffer and they're destroyed based on ignorance.
You spoke a message Sunday and you said, why do you keep hitting walls?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I keep hitting the same walls? Why can't I get over this hump? Why can't I get through this? Why can't I break through this circumstance? Why I want to stop? Why do I keep repeating the same patterns over and over and over and over again? This is why.
Yeah.
This is why.
Yep.
You never embraced it. You never looked for what He was trying to teach you through it. It was always just bitching and moaning because you were in it. Complaining because you were in it. Oh, I just want to get out of it. Complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever look and sit back and say, you know what? Let me just shut up and just ride this wave and see what happens. Because God's in control. A little trust. He said it gave a mustard seed can move a mountain. That much trust.
Yep.
Smallest seed known to man can move a mountain.
I think coming this year, 2019, can you believe it already?
Sure.
I want to challenge everyone. Kick out all those things out of your life that are complaining. Kick them out. Get rid of them.
Go.
You don't need it. You don't need anybody in your life that are complaining. It's actually it's a disease. It's a plague.
Yep.
Have you ever been around someone who's been complaining? Next thing you know,
you're complaining. Exactly right.
Yeah. You end up complaining with them.
Yep.
And it's nothing but a plague.
Exactly
it's
right.
It's a disease. And, you know, if you want a better life, get rid of the nags.
Yeah.
The nag factors. Get rid of them in your life. I know Sam and I, we made a corporate decision by getting rid of all the naggers, all the nags. Time to go. time to go. You, time to go. Yep. And you, time to go. Because why do we need the nagging?
Yep.
The complaining. Nothing's ever right. Everything's always wrong. It's like, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, the sun rises to the east and sets in the west with you and me. Why are you complaining?
Constant complaining.
It's like, you got to get them rid of it. You got to get it out of your life. You got to get those things out of your
life. Believe me, when you do, you'll experience a peace and joy that you never even imagined.
Yeah, because what happens is you look at yourself and you're saying, what am I doing wrong?
Correct.
What is going on? Or if it's not complaining against you, they're complaining against the society or the way the world is being ran or whatever, where you can't do anything about it anyhow.
Exactly right.
And it's like, well, you can voice your opinion, but don't let your opinion be so overwhelming that it's like we got to get up and do something then.
Don't let your opinion steal your own peace and joy.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's a good one. We got to really start simplifying our lives so that we can, you know, become whole and let that joy and peace overflow.
Well, you can have peace and joy. You can have it. It's right around. It's right here. It's one step away.
And here's another dangerous situation. A silent complainer.
Oh, yeah.
Has anyone ever met a silent complainer where they just don't say nothing and they're never happy? And you're like, what's wrong with you?
Nothing. Don't worry
really?
About it. I'm
then
fine.
How come you're not smiling?
I'll be fine.
I don't know. Something's wrong. There's nothing wrong. What's going on? I don't know. There's something wrong. You got to find out why that joy isn't bubbling up.
No. You'll be like, all right.
Huh? What, a silent complainer?
Oh, yeah, it's better than letting everyone else hear what you have to say about it.
You just can't get it out, though.
But
you never let it out.
You know what? Yes, you're right. It does. It's not healthy for others, but it's not healthy for you either. And the ministry is really to focus on the individual. Yes, give us all a break, but the individual has to be free.
Correct.
You know, and you have to get to the roots of what is the problem, what is the issue, what is it. Most of an individual's complaint is maybe that they don't want to watch the television show that's being watched. Or, you know, simple little
Something
things.
Simple, yep.
But when you got one that's a deep complaint, like a deep...
You got like 20 different ones in there.
Something that you just don't know why you're not happy... They're the ones that I want to really say, listen, then you just got to let go.
Yep.
If you don't even know what it is, I'd rather have that individual say to me, I just don't want to watch this right now, and you're watching it, and I just don't want to watch it, and I don't want to go to my room, or whatever. I'd rather have that than, I don't know what it is.
Exactly right.
Then if you don't know what it is, then you just got to let go.
Yep.
You're holding tight on something.
Control.
You're holding tight on something. You don't know what it is, but you're holding tight. You're holding tight. So you better just cut the cords. Whatever it is, take off the tighty whities. Just let go. Loosen up.
Go outside and scream
Loose.
Your face off.
Yeah. That's what I used to say. Go outside and scream.
And get it out of you.
And keep yelling until you finally start laughing.
Yeah, puke it up.
Because something's in there. That might have been in there for a very, very long time.
Years and years,
years
and years.
Years.
Compounding upon compounding upon compounding. Yeah. One thing became 50 things, but there's still that root in there.
To the point where your mental mind.
You can't even comprehend
can't
it the very
comprehend
first
it.
One. Because it was 20 years ago and it was one thing, and
can't
now it's 50 things,
it.
And now it's this year's this thing, and last year was this thing, and you're like, oh my God.
Yep.
What year are we in?
Yep.
What year is it?
And that person really just has to let it go. Whatever. I don't know what it is. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Loosen up.
You don't know what it is, then let it go.
Shake it off. Loosen up.
What are you holding on to if you don't know what it is? What are you holding on to it for?
Take big breaths. Blow them out. You got to do it. You got to get it. Got to go.
Yeah,
gotta
you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you got to. You just got to get loosen up.
Yeah,
how many
exactly.
people understand what loosening up means? Yeah. Just got to be like, woo, shake it, do something silly, funny, something.
Shake yourself out a little bit.
Something. But with that being said, I think we're running out of time. Yep.
Yep.
What time are we supposed to end?
Blue light on.
Yes, blue light's on.
You're good.
Well, thanks, Jim. That was wonderful. I had a lot of hours.
Wonderful, Mark. I appreciate
if
that.
I cut them all tomorrow, I feel good.
All right. Let's do that. I need it. Well, let me say goodbye to everyone. And thank you for everyone logging in. And remember, change. You gotta change.
Embrace it.
Embrace change. And if you are in that place where you're complaining and you don't know what it is, shake it off and loosen up. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.